Okay. All right. Can you hear me? Yes. Right. So I was, for those of you that don't know, my name's Rosemary. I'm a retired teacher, but I have done other things in my life. And a lot of you will know that I am a Bible teacher. So I was quite surprised actually to get meditation. So can we have the first slide, please? So as Zach's just said, we're doing a series. So last term we did a series on prayer, and you've probably forgotten we were doing a series on God's word because we've had some one-offs. So Mike introduced it. So if we can have the next slide, please. He introduced the first topic, which was to read the Bible. And I've added listen to because the Bible, the Old Testament, was written not to be read personally, but to listen, for you to hear it as it was spoken out aloud. And for many, you know, reading isn't actually very comfortable for some people. So I added that because it's got to be both, hasn't it? It's got to, that for, if we can, to read it ourselves. And hey, Mike said, you know, what a privilege we have to be able to read God's word in our own language. And how many places across the world now have that privilege, which is brilliant. But, you know, I love listening to scripture being read. I think there's something really special about sitting and it washing over you. So, you know, I want to make sure that we include everyone here. So, but we're moving on to the next one, which is meditate. And there's a sort of progression like there was with the prayer one. Now, my first introduction to meditation was in the 1960s. You younger ones, you might need to talk to your parents or your grandparents about this. But I went to secondary school in 1966, and it was Beatles, Rolling Stones. Some of you are nodding my age, you understand. I was Beatles. Now, next picture, next slide, please. Oh, no, yeah, that's it. So, this is two of the Beatles when they went to India, and they went to see this guru, and it became popular to do meditation. It was something that actually, in England at that time, I mean, I don't ever remember hearing a sermon about meditating on God's word. And I think this event put Christians off, actually, because this is meditation the Eastern way. That is not what we're talking about this morning. That is not what we're talking about. We're talking about Christian meditation, meditating on scripture. So next slide, please. So I'm a humanities teacher, or I was, and we use something called Kipling's Questions, and you've got them up there. And it was a really good way of some, you know, drawing a lesson together at the end to see if anyone actually had listened to what had been happening. And we're going to look at Kipling's Questions, but if the next slide, please, we're going to do them in a different order. And don't worry, the last three are very, very quick. We're going to concentrate on what is meditation, why do we meditate, and how do we meditate. So I hope that that's okay. But just a quick key, we've had problems with the internet, so I haven't got the quotes that I'm going to read and not on the slides, but if you're interested, you can come and ask me. Is that okay? But hey, isn't technology fantastic until it doesn't work? So, what? Next slide, please. Okay, so if we think of the English word meditate, the synonyms are to muse, to ponder, to ruminate. So basically, there's an implication that it's something deliberate that we do. We do it so that we can focus on something so that we can understand it better. So that's the English thing of what meditation is. It's not a quick reading. It's something that's much slower and deliberate. Now, the Hebrew word is hagar, which means to murmur. And I thought that that was quite interesting, actually, because, as I say, the Old Testament was written in a way that it's best delivered by reading it. And there's that sense of, and some Jews still do this, of reading, murmuring scripture, just saying it out quietly as they read it. But it can also, the word can also be translated as to growl over. And in Isaiah, 31, it says, as a lion growls, a great lion over its prey. And it's the growl bit is the same word that's translated elsewhere as meditation. And one of the things that I was reading when I was preparing this said it's like a dog with a bone. I expect some of you have seen that. You know, dogs, if they have a bone, they chew at it, they might go away, they come back and they have another chew, but they don't leave it. It's something they keep coming back to. And that really is what meditation is. It's not just a quick reading. It's about spending time thinking and pondering over God's words. So, Jim Packer, who wrote a book called Knowing God, says this. Meditation is the activity of calling to mind and thinking over and dwelling on and applying to oneself the various things that one knows about the works and ways and purposes and promises of God. It is an activity of holy thought, consciously performed in the presence of God, under the eye of God, by the help of God, as a means of communication with God. If you want that again, you'll have to come and ask. So, that is what meditation is. So, now we're coming to why we meditate. So, if I can have the next slide, please. Okay, now this is a quote, and I'm going to explain why that's there with a little tangent. So, the Old Testament for Jews is in three sections. So, you have the Torah, which is the first five books of our Old Testament, which is the law. Then they have something called the Nevin, which is what we would call history and prophecy, which they call prophets. And then the final bit is called the Ketuvim, which is called writings. And it's everything else in the Old Testament. So all the poetry, all the wisdom, and then what they see as historical books like Daniel and Esther and Ruth. Now, for a Jew, at the time of Jesus and today, they have a program of reading their scriptures. They are read out aloud in the synagogue, but these days, obviously, Jews will be able to read that for themselves. What I find really, really interesting is in the first book of the Nevin, that's the prophets, which is Joshua, it says this: be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all of the laws my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it. Do not turn from it to the left or to the right, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So right at the beginning of that second section of the Jewish scriptures, meditate day and night because it's important. And then lo and behold, what's the first chapter in the Ketuvim, their third section, Psalm 1, and it's on the screen. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Some similar things in those two verses, isn't it? And I thought that was really neat when I discovered this. Sorry, that's the way my brain works. That meditation, it's not a word that we find greatly in Scripture, but it's there. And it's important. It's important because it helps us keep God's law. For me, when I thought about this, the following phrases came to mind. Let the word of God dwell richly among you. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. They were the three things from Scripture that just came to me immediately. And I'm sure you can think of other verses which show having that real understanding of God's word is so important in our Christian life. You see, it's about knowing God better. And isn't that what we want to do? Do you want to know God better? I do. And it helps us to experience God's peace. Because something happens when we take time out to meditate. It says, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. That's Isaiah. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing can make them stumble, which is in Psalm 119. So meditation, it's there and it's important. And I suspect quite a load of you here do it. I'm sure that you do. But, you know, this is the topic and so we're thinking a little bit more about it. So I think we need the next slide. Yeah. So just a bit more about the why. So we said that when the Beatles went to India, it introduced to the Western world Eastern thoughts and Eastern religion, really, and meditation became something that you do. I'm of the hippie generation, and yes, I have worn desert boots, flowery long skirts, and I've also walked around the park with no shoes on, but I didn't take the drugs. Older people will get that. So, you know, because this isn't what we're talking about. What we're talking about is meditating on God's word. But there is truth in what medical people and people who are into mindfulness say about meditation. Listen to this. Meditation can positively impact brain structure and function, aiding in cognitive preservation and stress reduction. It can also help improve emotional regulation, ultimately leading to better overall brain and mental health. Well, that sounds quite good, doesn't it? I'm up for that. You see, there's something about truth that we have to remember. Right, I've got a book on my bookshelf called All Truth is God's Truth. And it was written quite a long time ago. I got a free copy because I worked for UCCF at the time. And I'm afraid I can't tell you what the book's about because I started reading it on a ferry going over to Ireland on holiday and I fell asleep. I never got round to it. But all truth is God's truth. And I do know that what the book was saying, if God is truth, then that's where truth comes. And what happens is we know what Satan does and he twists things and a lot of things around us, other religions, other practices, they have an element of truth that's been twisted from what is God's truth. So the truth is that meditation on Scripture doesn't only help us to know God better, it's actually good for our bodies because that's how God made us. And I do find this, actually, that act of taking yourself away from the world, even if only for a short time, how taking a deep breath, changing how you breathe and focusing on something to do with God, it does change how we feel, and it has a really positive effect on our physical body. I mean, how great is that? That, you know, something that we're told to do helps us physically as well as spiritually, helps us mentally and emotionally. So I think that's a pretty good reason for doing it. Some Christians have written, meditation on scripture can lead to a renewal of the mind and has the potential to positively impact the brain. This practice can help individuals become more attuned to God's truth and wisdom, potentially leading to a more positive and resilient mental state. So that sounds good to me, doesn't it? That was Joyce Mayer and from the Mindful Christian organization. So how might we do it? Well, there's something called Lectio Divina, which, sorry, I forgot to put on the slide, which is an ancient practice that was developed in a monastery, and a lot of people still use it as a really, really good way of approaching this. And it has four steps. If you want to know more about this, then go online. But it's about reading scripture slowly, then chewing it over as we meditate, thinking about what God's showing you, then praying back what you're hearing from God. So it's not intercession, and then contemplate, and it says to look up from the book into the eyes of God, spending time in God's presence, allowing him to just feed you on what you've been thinking about on his word. So Mike said to me he wanted me to say how it worked out for me. So we don't need the next slide. So I'm just going to go through some ways that I find helpful. So first of all, I use Lectio 365, which is an app that you can get on your phone or whatever. I know quite a few of you know about it and that you use it. And what I like about it is you can have it, you know, they speak it to you, but you can read it if you need to. And what I actually like is that they actually have based it on this. It's a slightly different way of doing it, but it is based on this way of meditation. And because it's got a pause button, if I want to spend time thinking about something that comes up that day, I can pause it and spend as long as I like. And then you can, you know, press play again and go on with it. And I do find that a really, really helpful. But I have to say, like they say in some of the programs these days, other plans are available. But I find Lectio 365 really, really helpful for me. So one of the things I really like is that they start each day with this. As I enter prayer now, I pause to be still, to breathe slowly, to reset my scattered senses upon the presence of God. So meditation, as we've said, is something deliberate. It's we're going to sit down, unless you're walking through a lovely piece of countryside, but we're taking a short time apart from the world. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be long, but it's something that's deliberate. And then you sit and you take a deep breath. And actually, you can learn breathing techniques to help you do this, but as you take a deep breath and as you breathe more slowly, it just allows our body to relax. It allows our brain to be engaged. Now, Eastern meditation, you're supposed to empty your brain of everything. That's not what this is about. We do not empty our minds. We fill it with God's Spirit. Two verses that I love. In Colossians, it's letting the word of God dwell in your hearts richly. And then in Ephesians, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the next bits of the verse, it was about us singing and worshipping and being together are the same. And we have to have the two together. We need to, when we meditate, we take a deep breath and we consciously allow God's presence to come more fully upon us by the Spirit as we think on his words. And you have to have the two things. Without the Holy Spirit, it doesn't become life. And that's what we've been singing, haven't we, this morning in our worship. One way that I find really helpful in the chewing over is to take a verse. Now, the first time I did this, and we are almost coming to an end, was Psalm 23, which is my favourite psalm, and I am going to have read at my funeral. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So what you do is, as you're quiet and reflective, say the words out loud, but put an emphasis on each word in turn. So it's the Lord is my shepherd. And that when I first did this, it made me think, well, all right, I'm a teacher. It's the whatever it is in scripture, definite article, isn't it, I think. It's the Lord. Yeah, so it's not just any Lord. Then the Lord is my shepherd. And then you think about what that means aspect. Then it's the Lord is my shepherd. No buts there. It's my shepherd you would then come to when you say. And I find reading it out aloud, just doing that different emphasis, I personally find that really, really helpful. That may not be helpful to you. We each need to find our way of doing it. But something like that is a good way of chewing over exactly what God's scripture is. And then I just want to finish with one other. Now, there's a guy, he's been dead a long time, called Father Lawrence. And obviously, he was a monk. And he wrote a book called The Practice of the Presence of God. And this is a long time ago up at Crookes, but one of the staff, and I'm not even sure who it was, had read this book and was enthusing about it from the, you know, when they were talking. And a whole load of us must have gone to get a copy and read it. And I found it absolutely fascinating. It's one of those books that I would put on my top 10 list of Christian books that have affected me well. And one part of the book, he talks about a way of meditating on scripture. Now, this won't suit everyone. I'm someone who's, I'm a pictorial learner, so I learn with pictures, and usually God speaks to me through pictures as well. So for me, I can do it. I know it's not something that everyone can do. But anyway, what he suggests is that you're sat quietly, that you read a passage of scripture, and he suggests that you read a parable or something that's a story that is short. So I did it with a parable the first time I did it, and you read the parable several times, and then you put the Bible down. I find that it helps to shut your eyes. And then you just put yourself in that story, in that parable. And you imagine, what can you see? What can you hear? What can you smell? What's happening? And it's a really good way of engaging in a parable to see sort of the further implications of it. I know not everyone would be able to do this, but I particularly find it helpful. But what was really interesting is a little while after this, there was a group of us having a meal together in a restaurant, and one of the people said that they'd been absolutely amazed, and this person's a librarian, and I know that their personality is different to mine, and they said they thought they were going to have a go, and they said, and I can actually still remember what they said, well, it might be all right for a few minutes. So she did this one Sunday afternoon, and when she came to, she'd looked at a parable, and after it had all worked in her mind and her meditation, she realised that she'd been there for nearly half an hour And she was, so I know she did it again. So just as another way that you can engage in knowing God better rather than just reading it. So if we can have the, I think this is the final slide. So who, when and where? Well, all of us at any time, day and night, as we've read, anywhere you like, well, within reason. I've been meditating on scripture on the bench in Wath-upon-Dearne's cemetery because I've had to, some of you know, I've had to move out of my flat, get the key tomorrow. Yay. Back. So I've been at my friend's in Wath and I take her dog for a walk and the dog doesn't mind me sitting on the bench because he knows he's going to get a treat while I sit and I spend some time with God. I've even done it on Swinton Railway Station, various other places. It, you know, it, there's no limit, is there, to where we can find God, because his presence is with us everywhere. His presence is everywhere. So just to finish up, we're just going to spend a short time, just each one of us reflecting, like we did with the reading of Scripture. So I just want you to think. And God is not going to judge anybody because he knows our life and we're in different seasons and how it fits in is going to be different for all of us. Just remembered one more thing I was going to say. So I don't want you to think that I've got it made. I've been a Christian for well over 50 years, but I haven't got it made. And there are times in my Christian life, as there will be for quite a lot of you here, where you don't even pick the... You get to the end of the week and think, have I prayed? Have I read my Bible? And the answer's no. And when we became Crooks and City, I was went down and we were in Ponds Forge and I joined the technical team, the tech team, and I was on it for 10 years. But hey, there you go. And one of the guys, because the internet was still very, very new, and one of the guys was telling me about a website that he'd found called Bible Gateway, which I use a lot. And you can have the verse of the day sent to you in an email. And I was teaching at the time, and I was going through a difficult time, and I thought, oh, this could be interesting. So when I got to school, and I'm not a morning person, as most of you know, I would go into the area in the staff room where the computers were. I would get the emails up, and then I would look at this one Bible verse. No one else in the staff room knew what I was doing, because I didn't do anything out aloud. But that was a really, for quite a few years, that was really good practice for me, that in the morning at church, at school, I had a Bible passage, it was just a verse. And you know, during the day, that would come back to me when I was walking along the corridor with a pile of books for the next class or queuing for me coffee at break, you know, whatever. And I found that the verse, just that one verse, began to feed me again, and it was brilliant. So please don't think, oh, I've not got time to do this, even if it's only a few minutes a day. So I want you to think, is this something that I'm up for? Do I want to know God better? Do I want to know his presence in my life? And just come before God yourself individually and think, is there something that I need to change, or do I just keep on doing what I'm already doing, which is fine? Father God, we just want to thank you that your word gives us life. Thank you that we have the privilege of being able to read your word in our own language. And thank you, Lord, for how your word has helped us grow in our walk with you. And this morning we want to say yes to that because we want to know you better, Lord. We want to know more of your presence. And so, Lord, as a body of people here, as we individually meditate on your word, will it be true amongst us that your word dwells amongst us richly and that we are continually filled with your spirit? Just thank you, Lord. Amen.